episode 49 of This Developing Story. It's been actually a really good week. I am cranking through this Messenger app, fixing bugs, and trying to get it production ready to get on the App Store. I attempted last weekend to get it on AppHub, which is like, if you think of Heroku for Rails apps or Node apps, AppHub would be that. But the difference is you can actually bypass the iTunes Store by pushing a build to the AppHub server, and the AppHub server will actually update what's being run on the iTunes Store. So, which is nice for like small changes, so you don't have to go through like a full release cycle and review for the App Store. But otherwise, got a little stuck on that. I had to upgrade my entire Mac to El Capitan to be able to use it on the app on my phone, which I didn't know because I had the latest iOS. When you upgrade your iOS on your phone, you got to make sure you're upgrading your Xcode as well. I'm sure there's workarounds, but for this project, I don't really see why I needed to stay on the older version anyway, and it was time for an upgrade anyway. So did that. Spent about, not the whole day, but it was enough time that I walked away from my computer enough that it was kind of like half a day. I did other things, cleaned the house and stuff like that while that was installing and upgrading, and I was reinstalling a lot of my Ruby gems and Node packages and updating my homebrew and all that stuff. So yeah, so did that. I was had plans to reach out to the AppHub team to work through some problems I had. Basically, adding up AppHub broke my iOS build for Messenger, so I haven't been able to commit that yet. One of the alumni from Block actually has been helping me out for the past couple weeks. Just got recently got a job, so his efforts are probably going to be scaled down a lot, which I expect as you start ramping up for a new job. So I have reached out to more Block alumni to see if anybody else wants to help out with this app, and I've got one person who I'm going to be meeting with and hopefully mentoring in the future to get up to speed in React Native. Super excited. Obviously, being a Block alum myself and being able to source, you know, people who already know how to code and will be able to learn things and are eager to learn stuff, it's a pretty awesome opportunity I actually have being in this position. So hopefully they get something out of it. They get some open source contributions. They also get to learn a new framework. On top of that, also iOS. So I'm looking forward to that actually next week. And hopefully onboarding more people. If you're interested and you're an alum and you have access to, you have a Block login to send messages, check out the Messenger repo on Block. Other than that, I have been focusing on Go. I'm actually building a Go JSON API for a small project I'm working on the side. I'll more details on that later. But yeah, going to do a Go API and a React front end. Pretty exciting. It's a lot of things I haven't done. Kind of scaled down everything else to kind of pull this project together. And I'm finding making Go APIs is not too terribly hard. I was able to do it in an hour or two last night. I actually spent quite a few of the time, much of the time, just reading different things and different approaches, and also just reading like things about Go, because I've never made anything production ready or even like a web server. I've made Go web servers using like standard Go and also Martini and Gen, those libraries, but I never did anything with them. It's more just tutorial. So this is actually going to be a project, my first actual project in Go that's not like computer science problems. As far as computer science, I put that on hold for a bit. What I like to do is I keep a Trello board to like make sure like the tasks that I want to do as far as programming things I want to accomplish. I just keep a list, and as I accomplish things, I move them off the list. So the computer science in Go that I've been doing, it's been moved further down the list. It's probably like an item number 6 of a 20 item list. So anyway, I'll get to that. I'll have more updates. I'll have a blog post on that too. I've got cooking up. I've actually got quite a few blog posts. I've been learning a lot in a very short amount of time. But enough about me. This podcast is actually going to be with Azer Kachula. Azer is actually a pretty prominent open source contributor. For the most part, he actually is the contributor to, or the main contributor to LeftPad, which very small library. I can't remember if there's any other contributors there. But anyway, It was a big kerfuffle with NPM because there was like a back and forth with another package that he was working on and another company that actually had the same name. Long story short, he removed all his packages. Anyway, we actually never didn't even talk about any of that. And if you're unaware, just Google his name. You'll find out more details than that. I actually focus more on who Azure is and how he got into programming, because that's what this podcast is about. We don't report the news. We don't comment on the news and stuff like that. I say we. I mean, I. But anyway, so actually, I was really interested in Azure. He's actually, not only does he's been programming for a while, and he is pretty talented, just to say the least. He actually maintains a blog where him and his wife actually travel across the country, which is pretty awesome. I only am going into more detail because the actual podcast got cut in the middle. We had some technical problems in the middle of it, so a bit of the conversation got cut out. So just to clarify some things. And but yeah, I highly recommend checking out roadbeats.com to check out his blog efforts. We'll mention it in the middle of the podcast, and I'll mention it again at the end. But without further ado, here is Azure.
My name is Azer Kuchulu. I got into programming when I was in high school. I was trying to build a website for me and my brother. We were inspired by a guy from my father's hometown who is named as Internet Mahir. He's like one of the first internet celebrities. And we heard about internet thanks to him, because a guy from our hometown just become like celebrity in the world. And I decided to do the same thing, like building a homepage for me and my brother. And we iterated this homepage maybe 200 times. We were just building a single page thing, and we were just rebuilding and rebuilding. So it turned out that it's a really good way to learn how to program, like iterating same thing.
So for our listeners, where is your hometown?
My father's hometown is Kars.
Okay.
It's like east, northeast of Turkey.
Yeah.
It's known for like, you know, more dark-skinned people, like gangsters, mafia, and that kind of things. And my mom is from like opposite side of Turkey. It's like south. It's a Greek, small Greek town. All people are like white. For Turkish standards, I'm like a mix.
Okay. Okay, very cool. And did you grew up in Turkey?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. So what brought you to the States then? You learned how to program doing this homepage. So like what's the connection between now coming in the States and working?
So when I was about to graduate from high school, I was like, I need a job. And I went to the nearest bigger town to the town we were living. And I found a job. And I started just making like simple websites. I wasn't using programming at all. And then I got into PHP by just asking questions to other people. Then I found myself programming Python. And Node.js got released. After Node.js, I was also like looking to Go. And in 2011, I just got a huge bank loan in Turkey. It's like 25,000 Turkish lira. It was a very big money for me because I was unemployed and, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. So it was like a big risk for me. And I got a tourist visa.
Oh, wow.
Saying that I will if you want to get a tourist visa to US, you need to guarantee that you will never try to get a job in US. But I had to lie about it. You know, I wanted to get a job here. And I came here. I interviewed like 50 companies. And then I was also trying to improve my English as well at the same time by speaking to people. You know, my first conversation in the country was like talking to the cashier in Starbucks. You know, it was also interesting for me because I'm like walking into a country and the cashier is asking me, how are you? And it was like, what? I didn't expect this question. The first question in the country. So that was interesting. And then I interviewed a lot of companies, as I said. Fortunately, one of them decided to get me a visa. since I wasn't graduate, since I'm not a university graduate, it's really hard to get me visa, get me work visa, sorry.
Yeah.
Because the visa rules say that you have to be a university graduate or you have to have like 3 years of work experience, which I didn't have to. It's like if a guy from immigration listens to this, maybe I will get kicked out of the country. But so I contributed to an open source project called Firebug, and the lawyers who got my visa considered my contributions to Firebug as 1.5 years of job experience.
Yeah, very cool. So how old are you when you decided to make this leap, get the loan and come over to stateside?
22.
22. Okay. So a couple of years ago. And you said you didn't, so you have no like schooling as far as programming per se?
So I went to technical high school.
Okay.
And the high school I studied is like, you just like train for a job. And they trained me and my class for being a computer technician. Like we fix computers.
Yeah.
And I was working in the, besides of the school, I was working for a small computer shop. I was like fixing computers. Also like, you know, just doing other things. You know, when you work for a small shop, you do lots of things at the same time.
Obviously, English isn't your first language, yeah. And you got into programming like PHP, mm-hmm. And some other things, which are most of the contributors are actual from stateside. How was it like contributing code with English not being your second, your first language? Did you find that difficult at all?
So PHP was like a really mainstream language. You know, I guess it's still mainstream. So there was lots of Turkish documentation for PHP. There is a small open source community in Turkey, and that was like lots of efforts for translating documents to Turkish. But when I discovered those Turkish documents, I already knew of PHP. Actually, that's the thing. Like, there was a Iraqi refugee in Turkey, a guy who came to Turkey from Iraq, and he couldn't get a job because he was stateless. You know, like he needed a work permit to work in Turkey, and he didn't have it because he was illegal. And he got into programming because he could make money online, right? And his English was really good. His goal actually was to move on from Turkey to Europe, but he just stayed in Turkey. So I added that guy in MSN Messenger, and he started helping me a lot. I was asking lots of questions. Like, I didn't know how to... That time, I wasn't aware of that. There's a search engine called Google, and I was just asking that guy, like, this is my question. Could you answer it? He also bought me domain name and also hosting for, like, publishing my projects. So he was a very generous and nice guy. We are still in contact. He is, like, a family in Turkey now.
He's really?
Turkish citizen.
Yeah. Is he still programming?
He doesn't do programming anymore. He works for a food company. He's like a manager. He really likes his job. We are friends in Facebook, so we sometimes chat.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's cool that you had this desire, and you see it and you have it to fruition. Like, obviously, you're working here on the stateside, and you're programming as an engineer. Is your family still in Turkey at the moment, or are they?
Yeah, okay, I don't have any family members in the U.S.
Okay. Do you ever make it back to Turkey?
Yeah, a lot of times. I spent like 2.5 months last year in Turkey.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So another thing that got me really interested and wanted to talk to you is you're very a very talented photographer. I follow you on Instagram now. I also read a bit of your blog, which is roadbeats.com. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what roadbeats.com, your blog is.
Roadbeats is our project with my wife, Noah.
Okay.
Our goal is to share our journeys all around the world. For example, we have a story about refugee camp that I volunteered last year. And then we have a story about the Jatiluwih town in Bali. It's a small Hindu town. So we walked to a village called Jatiluwih in Bali, and my foot was broken. And the local people saw us, and they wanted to have us in their baby shower ceremony. We had breakfast and lunch with them together. So we have this, we have the story of this day in our website, roadpitch.com, along with photos and a few videos. So our goal in Roadpitch is like trying to reach the hearts of people in the places that we visit.
Very cool. Yeah, and I think I mentioned earlier too, you do all this traveling. Do you do it while you're still working as an engineer, or do you take time off in between to do these travels?
Last year, I did some work when I was traveling. And last time I went to Alaska for like 1 month. In the last week, I was working offline. I didn't have internet, but I was just like working offline. And it was the time that I created Kick, the project.
Okay.
That got kind of like,
yeah. And so then another reason why I was really interested is like, you're pretty mm-hmm. prominent on GitHub. Like, I mean, you've got a lot of followers, but you also have a lot of like repositories that you have like just open sourced for people to use. And it seems like you've got a lot of stars too, based on those mm-hmm. repositories. So how do you find the time to be able to contribute to these open source projects, but also travel and carry on a job too?
One of the biggest reasons that I have a lot of projects is that I try to create the smallest project possible for one idea. So I separate each idea from each other. And I try to create tools for maximizing my productivity.
Okay, which I guess that explains why there's so many different like projects. And I did look at quite a few of them, so they are very small too. So you find that like with these small projects, you find that a lot of people find them more usable? Or do you get contributors to help you out with like these small projects and give you like feedback on them?
Yeah, not all of them. But if an idea is like useful for other people as well, and if the name of that package is kind of like, you know, catchy, so they can like discover it in NPM.
Awesome. So are you also involved in the like JavaScript PHP communities also? Do you do like any talks or attend any meetups or anything like that?
It has been a very long time that I didn't write any PHP actually.
Okay.
Since I switched to Python, and then after Python, Node.js came. And nowadays, I'm mostly like Go, actually, rather than JavaScript.
Yeah.
But when I was like more active in JavaScript, I went to meetups a few times to make presentations about some of the projects that I was working on. For example, I was working on a testing tool called Prova. I introduced that tool in a few meetups. JavaScript meetups.
Okay.
But I'm kind of like inactive for like last 2 years.
Well, yeah, it looks like you've been staying busy with all this traveling. Cool. And yeah, offline, you said you work for Jelly. Some people might be familiar with it, with the question app that came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So do you work remote for that team, or do you come into the city to do that?
Yeah, I come to the city. We don't have any remote members yet, but I don't know if, what's going to happen in the future. But I would love to work remotely in the future.
Very cool. And is that the work you do there, is it in Go or is it in JavaScript?
Yeah, the client side is JavaScript and the backend is Go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so I actually just got into Go. Within the mm-hmm. last year, I've got one small project that I'm doing in it, and I've got a little bit of work code that I don't have in production that I'm like toying around with, switching out the Ruby code for. Mm-hmm. But Go itself, I really enjoy for sure, and I would love to continue to work in that. What's your comparison between Go and like working in Node?
Go is kind of like simple language. And one of the biggest differences, I guess, is like I've been working with JavaScript for almost 10 years, I guess. You know, the first time I wrote JavaScript, I was like 18 or 19. And I still don't know the best practices in the community. There is a lot of things are changing really fast. And sometimes, like, you need to do something in a certain way and you don't know the best way of doing that. But in Go, it's like very certain. And I don't know why, but the code I write in Go is like much more maintainable than the code I write in JavaScript. The effort I'm spending for JavaScript is more than the same effort I spend for my Go project, I guess. I feel more comfortable in Go than JavaScript. Although I'm writing JavaScript for a very longer time, actually.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think what really helps in Go is the formatting, is having that built in and having like that strictness to it. It helps build that consistency rather than like in JavaScript, like depending on what team you work on or what project you work on, there could be semicolons, there could be just all different things that are like either omitted or required or restricted. And then ES6 is another whole level of learning nowadays where I see so many projects that are on like ES5, but then there's like some ES6 conventions and there's like a mixture and certain people do it like certain ways. So yeah, I definitely like Go for that reason. I like that it's the simplicity of it. And I like that, like you mentioned it being low level, that it's simpler and the abstractions aren't as deeply nested as something like Node, where you have to like really dig in deep to find out what's happening. Go, it's just right there in front of you.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll just ask you one more question. As far as like someone who's interested or getting into programming, or someone that's very new in the programming, even like people who might not be in the United States, what's one piece of advice that you would give to them?
From my personal experience, the best way of learning programming is practicing it in very small steps. As I said at the beginning, I was like creating like small single page websites for me and my brother, and we iterated it. I mean, iterate may not be the best word, actually. We rebuilt it from scratch so many times with my brother, and each time it was better than the last time. And we were getting better than the last time, each time we tried to recreate it. So I guess this is a really good way, because I saw other people doing the same thing. There was a woman programmer who learned programming by creating 100 applications in 100 days, like one application per day. And it was a very successful example and very similar to how I learned programming. And I think I give my advice would be this.
Very cool. Well, Azar, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and chatting with me and telling me about your story. I highly recommend people who are listening to check out your blog and also follow you on Instagram, at least the very least. I mean, the pictures are amazing that you take. I wish I had half the knowledge or the sense of being able to take a nice picture like that.
Thank you so much.
So that was it. Azar Cuchulo. Check out his blog for sure. Check out Roadbeats. Follow him on Instagram. The guy's like pretty talented photographer. Very impressive stuff. I wish I could do half the stuff that he could do as far as Instagram and taking pictures. And interesting. Also, another thing that got cut off is that wasn't mentioned in the podcast. Azar has a documentary that he did part of his traveling. I'm going to post it in the show notes. So if you're interested, check it out. It's a Vimeo video. It's actually in, I don't know what language it is. I didn't ask, but I assume it's some language that I don't know. So anyway, but the visuals of it is pretty amazing. So I highly recommend just checking that out, see what he does and find out more of who Azar Cuchulo is. So I got a couple podcasts in the future coming up. Again, I'm pretty booked. I've got people on my list that I haven't even reached out to because I don't want to have too many podcasts recorded without getting them out. So I'm just sitting pretty nice getting these podcasts out. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it. Leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Dogcatcher, Overcast, whatever your podcast listener of. Whatever your podcast listener of choice. Also, hit us up on podcasts@briandouglas.me or developingstory.netlify.com or developingstory.com. Got a couple URLs. Anyway, check us out. Leave a comment and review. Thanks, guys.